Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And we're back today, John, talking about tree selection. And we've invited great friend and previous guest, Mr. Oscar Mestas, to join us today. Oscar, thanks for coming out here today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's been a long time since I've been on the radio.
It has been, right? So, Oscar, you are a certified arborist and municipal specialist. Also, the former regional urban forester for Texas A&M Forest Service.
Correct.
Wow.
I'm a forester and an arborist.
Wonderful. So today we want to talk a little bit about tree selection. And I know that we've been talking about some upcoming events. And John, you're hosting Sunscape next week.
Right. And Sunscape, people are interested, they can still give the museum a call at 915-747-8994. And we'll get you information on it, but it is a one-day course on Saturday to kind of get people a little bit acquainted to growing things here in El Paso. And we're working more, mainly with ornamentals, that we'll be talking about native ornamentals and desert-adapted ornamentals, and just how to design with them, work with them, how to, you know, take care of them, water them, and those kind of things. So.
Yeah, and Oscar's one of the instructors for that Sunscape class. So today's going to be a little preview to Sunscape.
It's $35 for the registration. Again, you can call the museum, and the program is at the museum, so they're welcome to call in. Again, 915-747-8994.
Wonderful. Sounds good. So let's talk a little bit about trees today, since we're up here in your alley here, Oscar. And we talk a little bit about folks that are looking to choose a tree for their yard. We see a lot of growth happening in El Paso. We see a lot of folks, a lot of houses being built, especially in your far east side of the county. The land itself, not a very big yard there.
Oscar, we want the tree that grows the fastest, has the prettiest blooms, has no pollen, creates no problems,
no
drops.
Trash.
Go.
And
that,
so which tree is that?
I always say, you know, I've seen these plastic palms in Midland that they light up at night. They do very well if you want to go that route. But environmentally, they don't really provide a lot. So we got to step back and take a look at where we are and what we want to do. I mean, there's the Texas A&M Forest Service has a good website. It's a Texas Tree Planting, and it's all one word. It's Texas Tree Planting. I believe it's .tamu.edu, and it helps you find a tree in any county of Texas. So if you went to that website, you would go to El Paso County, and it'll give you selections of small trees, medium-sized trees, and large trees. And you can look at all the different attributes of the tree. You know, is it deciduous? Is it evergreen? How large does it get? As John was saying, does it, you know, have flowers? What kind of fruit? Any pest issues? So it helps you make a selection for your specific location. Because remember, El Paso is a very diverse city as far as mountainside, and then you got the valley, and you've got different soils. You've got rock, you got limestone soils, you know, high pH soils, some granitic soils. So it depends on where you live. Sandy soils, sand over caliche, clay over sand.
I mean, right.
Whatever you can find here in El Paso, it's here. So.
And we've seen it all, right? Like, you know, maybe cottonwoods and deep sandy soils that are, you know, struggling to come along. And that's a lot of the placement, right?
So. Yes. 25 years I was, you know, the regional urban forester for West Texas. And I've seen it all. Well, maybe not. There's still things that surprise me. But, yeah, when people say, I want a tree for my yard, how do I select it? And like John said, I want the fastest growing tree. And it's like, well, the fastest growing tree is probably a mesquite, but do you want a mesquite? You know, do you want, or I heard Arizona ash is fast growing. Yes, it can be fast growing, but so can be live oak. I've seen Arizona ash planted right next to live oak in the same type of soil and location, and the live oak is growing faster than the Arizona ash. So it's not the tree necessarily that grows fast. It has the ability to grow fast, but it depends on the conditions, because trees respond to their environment. So the better the environment, the better conditions, the better soil, the more water, you know, the less harsh, you know, things that you can keep them protected them from, like wind and sun and rain and ice, you know, the better your tree's going to grow. But so that's why we have to look at the right tree for the right spot for the right reason.
Wow. So that's a lot of information to be able to process, right, all at once. But, you know, you're looking at selecting the tree. You're looking this for the long haul.
Exactly. Trees are they're not, you know, people want that instant. And if you've got money, mm-hmm. you can have instant gratification. If you've got, you know, $30,000, $40,000 in your pocket, you can buy a large tree and have it plopped into your yard. But most people don't want to spend that much money. I like spending, you know, $20 on a 5-gallon tree and watch it grow. I'm on my grandfather's old cotton farm in the Mesilla Valley, ground zero when we moved there 25 years ago, okay. Nothing. And now you can walk into my yard and you can see, you know, 30, 35, 40-foot tall trees, you know, from oaks to pines, mm-hmm. you know, to honey locusts, to fruit trees. I mean, I have quite a bit of variety, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of different trees. That's what I'm saying. Go to that website, figure out how big of space you have. That's most important, how big of space, because the more space you have, the more soil volume, the bigger the tree you can grow. Then you've got to be able to look at how close do I have to my house or a sidewalk or some hard infrastructure. I don't want it to interfere with that later on.
Well, you kind of want to know what the mature size of the tree is.
Absolutely.
That you bought, what it's going to be.
And right. Most people buy this small tree, and they put it in a tight spot, and then they go, oh, my gosh.
It's 3 feet away from the wall.
And they wonder why it's growing at an angle, you know. Why is it? Because it, you know, it needs the sunlight, so it's growing away from the wall. But, yeah, you just got to make those right choices. Don't rush out and just say, I want a fast-growing tree. Say, I'd like to explain to the person you want to buy the tree from, your size of your area, the soil type, how much sun it gets, how much water you're going to be able to give to it.
And get all that going, because I've seen a lot of trees that almost dwarf houses, huge Afghan pines, you know, in a yard with a single story home, and
sure.
it's almost like a fake little display that you've kind of established there. So definitely looking at the long term, and for folks, I think it's also a matter of function. What do you want to do? Do you want a lot of fruit? Do you want a lot of, you know, the deciduous trees, if it's going to be kind of, you know, trashy and you know, pollute your pool, right. and your filters things like that too. So, I mean, you can have shade mm-hmm. and still have a lot of benefits
Correct.
From it without having the maintenance
Correct.
Built into
and,
that.
And that's all, you know, I was visiting my goddaughter in Austin, and she has a swimming pool. And she goes, what's the best tree for around my pool? I said, no tree.
Right.
Plastic.
Plastic, yeah.
An umbrella.
I go, yeah, if you have a tree around your pool, probably the best one would be a palm. I mean, at least if the leaf falls off, it's one big leaf, right. you know, frond, and you pick it up and it's easy to take out versus, say, you had an oak tree with a lot of, you know, have 1,000 leaves falling into your pool at the end of the year if it's deciduous. So think about that. Like Denise, you said, function. Is it for shade? Is it for flower? And there's a lot of people putting in solar now in this area.
True.
So don't plant something that's going to block your solar panels.
Or
your neighbor's solar panels.
Right.
So you have to think about that for the future, too. You know, is this tree going to get large enough to, you know, and then why your solar is reduced or blocked completely because you're not thinking into the future.
Right, definitely. So I want to get your thoughts on what do you think about planting in your parkways?
It depends on the size of the parkway. I would say a minimum of a 4-foot parkway is needed before putting a tree in there. If you have it, like if you're in the older part of town, you've got these great 6 to 10 foot parkways, you know, in the central part of town, put the biggest tree you can in there. But if you have a tiny little parkway that's, you know, 3 foot or less, I would start looking at some shrubs or some ground covers and put the tree in your front yard instead.
Mm. Okay, Oscar, if a person's making a decision, you know, put a tree, put a shrub or lawn area or whatever, what are the benefits of a tree? Why do we want to plant more trees?
Well, I mean, we have lots of different benefits. Most of us think of aesthetics. It's a pretty, you know, something that's nice to look at. And a lot of us think, oh, it gives us oxygen. But, you know, we had to look at here in the Southwest, energy savings is a really big deal. So if you can plant a tree on, say, the west or southwest side of your home, you can save – I have to go back and look at the figures, but you can save money on your energy bill in the summertime. And by the same token, don't plant anything on the south side of your house because you want that southern heat in the wintertime, and you don't want to block that energy. So knowing the placement, but that – and then just air pollution. We're always having problems with air pollution here in El Paso. So, you know, talking about just natural air filters that clean all the air. And then we have problems with rain and stormwater runoff. They act as natural filters for stormwater runoff and give us cleaner water that goes into the Rio Grande when it eventually reaches there or down into our aquifers. So there are so many environmental benefits that we receive from trees. And that's the big push, is that the study that came out several years ago that shows how many trees there are in El Paso and the benefits and how much money it's worth and how much money they provide. Right. That's what we have to look at. And so hopefully you're looking at that. Like Denise, you said it before, it's the long run.
The long run of the trees. So let me just share with you, Oscar. We're doing a new segment on Good to Grow here. We're talking about a plant of the week. And each week of the show, we're talking about one little superstar plant that we want to share, and we'd like to give you that honor today and share a little bit about one of your notable trees that you'd like to see more of planted in El Paso.
Well, I'm going to say not just a notable tree, but maybe a genus of trees.
Oh, okay.
I like oaks.
Oaks.
Oak trees. Oak trees, if you
Encino.
Encino.
Roble, I think, is another one for the red oak. Encino for the white oak. So if you were hiking in here in El Paso, if you were along the river, you'd see a lot of cottonwoods and willows. And then you get into the chaparral and the arroyos, you'd see desert willow, soapberry, mesquite, hackberries. And then you get up into the little bit higher elevations of the Franklin Mountains, you're going to start finding oaks. You know, some of the little turbinella scrub oak, and then there's Arizona white oak that grow up there. And like you go out to Waco Tanks, you got some big Arizona white oak. But oaks do very, very well. And, you know, all kinds of oaks. You've got bur oak does really well, chinkapin oak, Texas red oak. If you can get the native oaks like the Graves oak, gosh, if you get Mexican white oak, there are a number.
We are going to have some Gravesy oaks at the plant sale.
Go to the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens and just look at the number of oaks. How many oaks do you have planted there?
Five or six, right?
Yeah, different species.
And then on campus here, we've added a lot.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of diversity, though. There's a lot of leaf shapes, a lot of the acorn style, everything.
Size, exactly. Well, hold their leaves, drop their leaves, deciduous
Right. There's a lot to be able to pick from
that. You've got evergreen oaks, you've got deciduous oaks, you have large-leafed oaks, you have small-leafed oaks, you have big acorn oaks, small acorn oaks, so, fall color oaks.
Yeah, we only asked for one, so we're just going to say oak, quercus. Wonderful.
But I'm like Oscar. I mean, you know, we've gone out and looked at oaks, and oaks have the habit or the notoriety of being slow growing.
Yeah. And they are not. I mean, my oaks, like I said, the biggest tree in my yard, 25 years planted 22 years ago, is my bur oak, and it's probably hitting 40 feet now.
Wonderful.
Yeah, from a 1 gallon.
Wonderful.
I remember looking at some oaks out in Album Park that are bigger than the mulberries, and they were planted at the same time. Everybody thinks mulberries are fast growing, but oak is fast.
Wonderful. Sounds good. Well, we're out of time for the show today. We want to thank you, Oscar Messes, for coming on and joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I enjoyed it.
Wonderful. Well, we also want to let you know to call the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354. We want to thank Hunter Taylor for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.